A very good evening to all of you. Thank you very much for that kind introduction, Deaconess June. I was here this morning at the 7 a.m. service. It was marvelous, bright and early, and there was a huge, a good crowd as well. So it's great. I am hearing for the first time that you guys are going feasting after this. I wish I knew a bit about it earlier, but I already have a prior commitment, so maybe the next time I can join you for your feast. And I'll try to remember to come on my birthday month and have my birthday celebrated. What a lovely thing to do as a family of God. Yeah. Today I'm going to speak to us about the subject of justice as it relates to our faith. And I want to show us a picture of the first picture. Yeah. And you see these words? Can I invite you to say these words with me at a count of three? Okay. 1, 2, 3. It's so unfair. Oh, come on. You can do that. Do better than that. Let's do it again, okay? 1, 2, 3. It's so unfair. How many of you have heard children say this at some point in your life? Yeah? How many of you are still saying this? Nothing wrong, because it's a fact of life. It's a fact of life, and there are things happening in our society, in our life, that often make us wish that there is more fairness in this world, that there is justice. Recently, I heard over the BBC how a woman was tricked and drugged into carrying heroin in her body. She was caught and she nearly died, and then she was sentenced to death in Iran. While she was in prison, strangely, while waiting to be hung or electrocuted, she didn't even know how, her sentence got revised to life imprisonment. But she was so despairing of her life, all she wanted to do was die. Until one day it struck her that if she died, her children would never know what had happened to their mom. So she had a change of mind, and she decided that she would want to live instead. She started to learn the language Farsi, and she started to open up her life and to share and get to know her fellow inmates. She started to keep a journal of her experiences every day. And after 8 long years, she was suddenly released. The embassy bought her a ticket, and she found herself back home in South Africa to a very different world, to her children who have grown up. Sadly and tragically, the people who tricked and used her were never caught. Her story is just one of millions of stories like this all over our broken world. It can be hard sometimes when you hear these stories or when you experience injustice in your own life to still trust in God. And I think sometimes we use the same words that the psalmist used. How long, O Lord, must all of this go on in our world? I struggle with it. Why doesn't God act? Why not prevent some of these things? I still remember that in the final year of my seminary, a university friend of mine suddenly came to see me. And I said, why are you here? And, you know, we were chatting. And I could see that she was extremely, extremely troubled. And then she started to tell me that she had gotten to know a guy who claims to be a Christian. They went on a date and he had raped her. You know, justice is a subject that is broad as well as deep. The spectrum ranges from justice between nations, for example, water treaties, perhaps, to between clans and families, and certainly in our personal life, we have experienced either personal injury or hurts. Sometimes people feel defrauded or cheated or stabbed in the back. Injustice, I think, is a common human experience for all of us. And of course, in one sermon, I cannot possibly do justice to this whole subject. But as I was praying about it, a passage that we commonly read during the Lent season that we are right now in came to my mind. And that will be our focus, because I believe Isaiah chapter 58 sheds very important light on this subject for us. Before I continue, can I ask you to just join me for a word of prayer? Would you bow your heads and take a few moments to personally speak with God just about what is on your heart? And then I will pray for us. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this lovely evening when we can gather to worship you, to respond to you in confession, to hear your word, and to obey it. Lord, would you remove right now every distraction, every weariness, every confusion, every burden, and just give us minds that are clear and a heart that is light to be able to hear your voice speaking to us, each one of us. And may, as we pray earlier, the message that comes meet with faith in our hearts, that we may be able to obey you with all of our being, and so give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to Isaiah 58, and we want to begin by looking at verses 8 and 9. Let me read that for us, and you can follow on your screens. It goes, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go forth before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" You know, these two verses in Isaiah speak of a turn in events. Darkness begins to break forth into dawn, into light. It describes that there is healing. It talks about righteousness, which is about knowing and doing what is right in God's eyes. There is here a description of the experience of the glory of God and an immediacy to God's answer to us when we call for help. When I read these two verses, I say, I want this to be the experience of my life. Do you? I'm sure you do. For this is the description of the life of faith. God was describing to his people Israel, and therefore to us, that this is what he wants for us. You see, the person of faith sees beyond the immediate circumstances. He or she is guided and cared for by God. He is inclined to do what is right in God's eyes, no matter how hard it gets. And in the midst of it, he experiences something extraordinary: the presence and the glory of God in his life. Yes, as children of God, as the people of God, this is meant to be our life. This is the life we want, we long for. That is why we gather. When there is trouble in our lives, we want to have a larger, wiser, godly perspective. We want every day of our lives to know God's watch care intimately. We want to know and do what is right in God's eyes. And we want the presence and the glory of God in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, and in our societies. This is verse 8 and 9, which means that there are verses 1 to 7 that come before it. And verses 1 to 7 include these words, though. "For day after day, they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them." What is this? This is God speaking. God is saying, when he looks at his people, he noticed some form of duplicity. It says twice in these few verses, they seem eager, they seem eager. They appear very passionate for the things of God. Let us read on. "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" Oh, the people of God are unhappy. They are unhappy that God has not noticed all of their religious observances. Sometimes, you and I, we make a big deal about coming to church and serving and giving, don't we? And maybe quietly in our hearts too, we ask, "God, haven't you seen everything I've done for you? Why are you treating me so badly? Can't you see how committed I am? I'm going to go all 3 days of the Celebration of Hope and bring friends and be a counselor and everything else. All that I've sacrificed, Lord, haven't you noticed any of it?" You know, friends, it's not that our behavior is not important to God. It's not that our commitment to come to church doesn't matter. It matters. It matters a great deal. Our actions impact those around us. Our commitments shape our life. Our words affect the emotional states of the people around us. It's important, our behaviors and our actions. But you see, God wants his children to be like him, to have integrity. That what is on the outside is the same as what is on the inside. And here the prophet points out the danger of our behavior and our being becoming disconnected. In particular, he singles out the spiritual discipline of fasting. See, fasting is a very serious spiritual discipline, signaling an all-out effort to find the will of God. Yet, when the people were fasting, this is what was happening. Our behaviors do matter. They are an overflow of our being. But when there is a mismatch of our behavior and our being, which the prophet describes in this way pertaining to fasting. Can we have the next slide? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. I can identify with this. I can't tell you how many times there has been quarreling and strife in my household just before a service. So it's great that we have confession. And in striking each other with wicked feasts, is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? See, God points out here how he sees through all of our external behavior that can seem so religious when in our hearts we can be very careless. And he puts his finger right where we all struggle. People. Someone once said, I love God, it's the people I can't stand. And I remember in my first year in university, in my political science class, my professor, when he sat down, the first thing he said was, as long as there are people, there will be politics. It's a nice Dr. Brown from the UK. As long as there are people, there will be politics. Whoa. God says, it boils down at the end of the day to how we treat each other, how we relate to the people around us, whether they are our fellow workers, our family members, our peers, or if you are in the business world, even your competitors. That's the real test the prophet reminds us today. Because God wants you and I, his people, to have an active faith, not an acting faith. An acting faith focuses on the behaviors that will be acceptable, just pass the mark. Am I doing enough? But an active faith begins with the promise that God has given us a new lease of life in Christ, that Christ himself dwells in us, and we need to guard that life, and we need to nourish that life. And because we do that, our behaviors begin to match this priority of the life of Christ in us. With an active faith, when we pass the peace on Sunday, we do it not because it was time in the liturgy to do it. We do it because we remind ourselves that our peace is hard-won. It cost Jesus Christ his life. It cost him all that he had to go through on earth. It's a peace that God has won for us. It's a peace that God wants for our lives. And it's a peace God put in us to be able to share with others. So when we pass the peace, it's both a reminder of what God has done as well as a commitment on our part that we will go the way of peace. We will walk in the path of peace. We will cherish the peace that is growing in our lives as we walk with Christ. The Bible passage then tells us clearly that justice is at the heart of an active faith. Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen, God says, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? This takes us right into the brokenness of our world today. People are oppressed. They have yokes that are burdensome, and it's breaking them. Just this afternoon, I finished a phone call with my very own nephew, the son of my younger brother. He ran away from home, cannot live with his father. They live in KL. Tomorrow, my nephew is coming to live with me. In our society, the rich and the poor divide continues to grow. Even in affluent Singapore that looks so good on the outside, we know that there is homelessness. And families, which is supposed to be the safe haven for our growing up years, increasingly experience tension, stress, and are breaking up. In our society, mistrust and fear, hostility is always nearby. It's mounting. I've been coming to the cathedral since I was quite young because I went to St. Andrew's Junior College. And there never was a time that we needed to put up a notice or prepare a video to talk about what to do in case there was a terrorist attack. But that is our world today. This is our world. The same world that Jesus loves and died for. And we, the people of God, the children of God, the Christians, we are called to an active faith that requires us to mature from the behaviors to something deeper. Let the behaviors shape something deep within us, the very heart of God, which is expressed in these words by the prophet. And it is precisely after these first seven verses of fairly harsh rebuke, I must say, from God to his people, that their faith is not an active one, just an acting one, that then we come to the passage we began reading and notice the pivotal word in that passage. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." The word "then" in the Hebrew is "at this time." There is a sequence of events. The Lord's work and presence in our life, the intimacy we can have with him, depends on the first seven verses. Faith and justice in God's eyes are one piece. We cannot expect to have a rich, meaningful, spiritual life, experience protection and vindication and peace when we do not reach out to protect, vindicate, and offer peace to others. A coin will always have two sides. God wants our inner longings, convictions, and desires, the depths of our being, to match our outer priorities, our choices, and our behavior, so that we are one coin, not two. My dear friends, whether you are here today seeking God, or you have been coming since you were in your mother's womb, God says to you, real faith is an active faith, where you believe that God loved you and died for your sins to set you free, and so you want to go forth and set others free too. Today, would you let the person go who made you very angry, who hurt you and may never say sorry? Today, would you release forgiveness to someone? Maybe the person is no longer around. An active faith where you believe and trust God to bless your labor and grant you fruitfulness, you likewise bless the labors of others and affirm the fruit of their lives. One of the things that always saddened me, and I partake of that, I confess, is our tendency to complain about the foreigners who work in our midst, especially the ones who work in our homes. And God has had to convict me that that was wrong. Surely there are difficulties that we need to work out, but there is such a great need. Just as I want my labor to be affirmed by the Lord and the people around me, I need to affirm her labor. When you long for justice, you work for justice. Is there someone you know right now who is having a hard time? Perhaps some form of injustice. Maybe your colleague was wrongly scolded by your boss. And on one hand, you might say, "Whew, good thing it was not me." But you knew it was not completely fair to your colleague. Could you pray for that person and maybe prepare to take action? Some form of encouragement, some form of resource. Stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. During this season of Lent, may I encourage all of us to fast from one thing, to fast from being so self-focused on our own needs and all the many things that we want, and to give more thought to those who have less and what they may need. Maybe you can download the Celebration of Hope app and delete all the shopping apps you have on your phone. They take a lot of time, scrolling and scrolling. Precious time. And our life is measured by our time, isn't it? And friend, if you are here this evening and right now in your life you are struggling because you have an experience of injustice, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's at work, or maybe in ministry, you just feel like you have not been treated fairly. God's word tells us today that He does want to act on your behalf. He does want you to go through that. And He wants to give you the grace and the wisdom to navigate in such a way that you can be freed from any snare, that you don't let it stumble you, but you grow in grace and the glory of God in your life. But you need to be willing to move from being an acting faith to an active one. As you wait for the Lord to act on your behalf, you need to step up and act on behalf of others. Let us bow our heads as we reflect on the Word of God today. Dear friends, it's easy to come and listen to a sermon and forget the sermon. So at this time, as we are praying, can I encourage you to pray a very specific prayer? I want to encourage you to tell the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, can you help me to reimagine my life?" So I want you to think about how you normally wake up in the morning. What fills your mind? All the worries and concerns. And maybe begin to think that when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you want to do is to thank God and say, "Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Heavenly Father." And to ask the Holy Spirit to help you reimagine your day. Where do you spend a lot of your energies, a lot of your time, a lot of your resources? Where are the opportunities you have where you have met people who have less and maybe you can do something for them? Or perhaps there is a situation you know right now and God has been speaking to you about it and saying, "I place you in that situation because you can make a difference. You are meant to be the salt and the light in that situation. And I know you are terrified. You are afraid of what people may say. You are afraid of the backlash. You are afraid of the consequences. But today, God wants to give you, His child, a godly courage that comes from Him. Because there is a very special joy when we do the will of God in our lives that nothing can compare with. So would you take a few moments and just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to reimagine your life, how you wake up in the morning, what occupies your day, how you relate to the people around you, and if there are things that you can actually do to work for the justice of our world, that you would set forth to do it. Almighty God, we thank you that you hear the prayers of every one of our hearts. And though some of our prayers may not even be complete or finished, we know, O God, that you are gentle and faithful and tenacious, and you will pick up that conversation with us. Just grant that we would have faith, that we would have a spirit that is submitted, that is eager to hear from you, and give us your grace abounding as we trust you and go forth to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.